Hi, everybody. This is Nan. It's Tuesday again. Happy Tuesday. So, who's there?
Hi, Nan. This is Allison Love, and I'm your new student today.
Hello.
I know I signed up late, but I was unable to participate previously, so thank you for letting me sign up late.
Oh, well, you're welcome. The calls are recorded, so you're going to be able to, you know, catch up. And you could do the work, you know, on your own time. The assignments are there for you. Hopefully, I don't know if Bernadette's got all the materials out to you.
She did.
You've got the link there? Oh, good. So, welcome. Where is it that you're from, Allison?
I live in Columbia, South Carolina, Charleston, South Carolina, and outside of Nashville, Tennessee. So I'd live in like three different places.
Oh, boy. Oh, you're busy. Okay. Well, thank you for wanting to join us and welcome.
Thank you.
So who else is there?
Mary Beth.
Veronica is here.
I heard Mary Beth. How are you doing today?
Good, thanks.
Great. And who else?
Veronica.
Diane's here.
Oh, I heard Veronica. Hi, Veronica. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you.
And Diane's here.
Oh, and Diane, hi. Welcome to you.
And Becca is here.
Oh, hi, Becca. Great to have you.
Demetrius is here.
Hey, Demetrius. How are you doing today?
Okay.
Good. Hi, this is Nan.
Hi, Nan. This is Jaylene.
Hey, Jaylene. How are you doing today?
Good, thank you. How are you?
Good. I am great, thank you. Okay, we still have a few people to come. Chris, oh, here's someone. Hi, this is Nan.
Hi, it's Krista.
Oh, hi, Krista. How are you feeling today?
I actually have a migraine again, but it's not a bad one today.
Oh, no.
On Sunday night. It's the weather.
Oh.
It's weather related. So.
It is, yeah. My daughter suffers from terrible migraines, and she just got some medication from the doctor. She had a bad one on Sunday, and she said she took it at 7, and by 8, her headache was gone. I'll have to get the name of it from her. I can pass it on to you.
Oh, that would be fantastic.
Yeah. those are horrible things.
Yeah.
I know. Okay. All right, so I don't hear Jerry, Kelly, Rebecca, or Sandra. Oh, or Kathleen. So we've got a few people haven't come yet.
Kelly's
here. Oh, Kelly, you are there. I'm sorry. Somehow I missed you in all of that. Glad you're here.
Thank you.
All right, well, it's 5 after, so we'll get started. Just want to introduce you all to Allison from South Carolina. She's joining us now. I just want to ask you, Allison, obviously you're committed to the subject of this course. Is it what brought you here to enroll halfway through the program?
Well, I'm sorry I wasn't able to participate previously because I had some other commitments on the other Tuesday, but living a purposeful life and leading a powerful legacy is something that I've been thinking about for many, many years. And I serve on the board of the Citadel, the Military College of South Carolina, and I've served in higher education governance roles for many years. And I think it's really important that our mission is educating and developing principled leaders. And there's nothing that this state and this nation and this world needs more right now than principled leaders. And I started a mentoring group several years ago, too, called Legatia. Legatia, L-E-G-A-T-I-A, is the word in Latin for legacy. And I think that it's very important that we all consider what our legacy is and think about our purposes in life and try to do the best we can to make a difference.
Wow, awesome. You are in exactly the right place, because I think everyone here feels exactly the same, and that's, you know, the reason that we're looking at all of this. We've talked about values. We've established values and ethics contract. We've been talking about when values are in conflict. And today we're going to be talking about designing the vision and life purpose and legacy and what that all means. So last week, and I will say, Allison, there are a lot of exercises for you to do, and I don't know what your time schedule is like. It might be difficult for you to catch up on all of them. I think that you will be able to do them on your own at your own time after the course is over, you know, to get resolution. And if you have any problems, you can always email me, either at nan@icoachthecoaches.com or nan@coachtrainingalliance.com.
Thank you so much.
Okay, you're welcome. So last week you were looking at developing life purpose statements. What about those exercises that you've been doing today, up to date, developing your personal values and code of ethics and life purpose statements? What did you like most about doing those exercises? Or what didn't you like? Was there something that about any... Sorry?
Nan? Hi, this is Jaylene.
Yes,
I just wanted to say that I really enjoyed last week's discussion because I had done the work on the value statement, and then I had just the day after, I had a situation where I had to make a decision where you have to choose between your values and do it so that I didn't feel guilty about the one that I chose to put first. And I think it was a lot easier to stand my ground because I had done that work of putting the words to the grouping my values together and then writing out why they were important to me into the sense of my sense of purpose, et cetera. So I found practical value in doing that.
Oh, that's, you know, that's amazing. Is it, to me, that's law of attraction in action, is we talk about it in class and then you have an experience where you get to actually apply it in real life and you benefit from the discussions and the exercise. Wow. That's really
amazing.
Something.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, I'm so glad that you found it so helpful, and thank you for sharing that. That's terrific. Anyone else have any stories to share about your experiences? You know, this is an inward journey. You're expanding your self-awareness. And who else have any stories that you want to share about your experiences in doing these exercises?
This is Diane. What I find interesting is that there's things that I would like to be that I'm not, rather than trying to identify what I am, like with regard to values and things.
Mm-hmm.
So that to me has been something to contemplate on.
Yes. You know, thinking about perhaps what action you can take to change so that you become the person that you want to become. Is that what you mean?
That's exactly what I mean.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. That's exactly what this course is about, too, is looking ahead and seeing what you want. In fact, it just dovetails perfectly. I Stephen Covey is just my hero, and his book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, my favorite habit is to begin with the end in mind. And so that's what a lot of these exercises do, is give you an opportunity to create the vision of what you want to be. And if you're not, if what you're doing now is not going to take you to that end, then you have to start changing your behaviors so that you will become who you want to become. So I don't want to embarrass you or anything. Do you know which behaviors you want to change?
I think part of it is valuing self.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't always do that. I always sometimes, don't do the things I should be doing, and sometimes do things that take away from myself, but at times help people. Sometimes you get stretched too thin if you do too much of that.
Oh, boy. Is that ever? Yes. When you're a giver and a helper, I always liken us to pitchers of water. And those of you who know me have heard me say this before, but, you know, we give and give and give, and we help and pour and pour. And at some point, we have to stop and refill that pitcher. Because unless we take care of ourselves, we can't take care of others when we're empty and dried out and we haven't got anything left inside us. So self-care, maybe that's part of self-valuing, because of, you know, you have to do whatever it takes, what your body's asking you for, what your mind and your emotions are, you know, are asking you for. You have to be willing to give that to yourself. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I remember, and some of the stuff we read is about, you know, what would you say to a friend if they were doing or felt that way? But how can you go and do that to yourself? No.
Mm-hmm. We are harder on ourselves than we ever are on other people. For sure. You know, when you listen to that negative self-talk, that little voice in your head or that sits on your shoulder, what is that self-talk saying to you? And if it's something negative, then I invite you to challenge that negativity and not ever let a negative thought hang in your head. Always replace it with a positive. So if you're aware that, you know, you're saying negative things to yourself, then you can challenge that and say, hey, that's not true. And then come up with a positive about yourself. We always find it so much easier to believe the negativity than the positive. So it has to be your practice to make that change. Is that something that you would commit to doing?
That's what I'm working on.
Are you? Great. And so how could I support you in that?
Well, I think this has just been helpful to hear other people talk and to go through the readings. And, you know, give me I need time to think it through. And I've been doing meditation, and I have had quite a few ahas during meditation.
Oh.
So it's been interesting.
That's wonderful. Well, you know, if you need an accountability partner, there are, you know, people in the class here, or you can, you know, call on me, whatever you need to ensure that you become that person that you want to be. Good for you. Have anyone else found that maybe in looking in writing that letter from your 90-year-old self, you found that you're not yet being the person that you want to be? Or perhaps you have negative self-talk that defeats you sometimes.
Nan, this is Krista.
Oh, okay. Krista first, and who is that after Krista?
I'll let Becca go first because mine isn't really necessarily. I'm sorry, did I say it wrong?
Oh, okay. Becca, do you want to go first then, and then Krista?
Yeah.
Well, sure. I mean, I hope it's as connected as we're thinking, but the negative self-talk, absolutely. But I kind of had a wonderful discovery when I was at home taking care of my mom. I go see her once a month, and I went through some drawers, and she said, let's see what we can clean out, although she's cleaned out most things our whole life. But I found these letters that I had written to my mom and dad when I lived in other countries or when I had first married and lived someplace else. And I was shocked. I felt like that person was not me anymore. It was like the exuberance and the enthusiasm and the every day is a new day and the being so grateful for being there and, you know, and having those opportunities and being with my new husband and just the vibrant sunshine that I felt like those letters were to my parents. And I know when I was growing up, you know, all my friends always said, you know, you're the fun one, you know, you're the one that we want to be around, that sees optimism and everything, that, you know, always setting goals, always being positive about moving forward, and how slowly, as I was doing these exercises, I kind of divided everything up in decades and how things happen to you and how your life changes and transitions. Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily what happens. It's just the transition and mm-hmm. how that exuberance, if I was to be writing that letter now, how it'd be pitiful.
Oh, wow.
It would be
so
different.
Life wears us down, doesn't it?
You know,
That's for sure.
Have to work at, you know, at all of our ages to stay positive and to pretend it's a new day and believe it's a new day and that there's always opportunities to change and grow and learn and have new plans and new goals. So anyway, it was just interesting when I read that letter.
Yeah. I love hearing you say that, Becca, though, because it's so true. I mean, our thoughts are our reality. We create, you know, our own lives by what we believe and by the actions that we take. And so, I think I gave you information earlier about transformational change.
Right.
Because life does wear us down and we do have really difficult challenges. And when you have a mindset where you're going to look for the learning. You're going to look for the positive in every experience. It's so helpful when you can look back on maybe the worst thing that ever happened to you and say, you know what? As bad as that was, I'm glad that it happened because I wouldn't be where I am now. I wouldn't be doing the things I'm doing. And if you're not ready to take those benefits from those negatives, then, you know, maybe that's something that might help, is to go back and look, start looking for the positives and train your mind to do that in every situation is, hey, this is crappy and I hate it. And yet there's got to be a lesson here.
Right, right.
So I love that you're open to that.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I mean, I heard you say about, you know, our thoughts and what they control. And it's so true. I mean, we control whether we're going to have a good day or not when we get up in the morning.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah. I really appreciate you bringing that forward. Thank you.
Ah, you're welcome.
Krista.
Thank you.
Sorry. Krista, what were you going to say?
Oh, I was just going to say for me, what was interesting is it's more so about how my values and my life has shifted in this year because of my new relationship and my partner. And she has a wonderful 8-year-old son who's really entered my life in a big way and has won me over in many ways.
Oh, boy.
And how I see that in working on this stuff that it almost it strengthens my values and really makes me want to express them in the world in a different way because I know that there's somebody watching and learning from what I do and what I say and the choices I make. And
isn't
I didn't have that
an
before.
Interesting
so,
perspective. Yeah.
That I see, you know, I see the places and I see how family has creeped up and it's become a bigger value in terms of moving forward into the future and how I see family.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And maybe how you see legacy too, now that you
exactly.
have someone
yep.
specifically and, you know, not necessarily financial legacy, but as you say, you know, someone's watching. So suddenly you're being a role model to someone and suddenly you're thinking about what kind of values do I want this young child to grow up having.
Right, exactly.
So,
and it's day in and day out, you know, just the little things too that you do throughout the day.
Yeah. Because even though sometimes the, you know, your values have hierarchical changes, they're still solid. And even though your life situation might change, it's interesting that you said your values have shifted. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering maybe if it's that your priorities have shifted.
Right, yes.
The values have more likely always been there.
Right,
and suddenly
like
now
strengthen.
With your new,
right.
Yeah, that's a great word, strengthened.
But isn't it possible that, this is Veronica, that values will shift with wisdom as you grow older and become wiser? So I can see a shift in happening with, as you, you know, experience and wisdom. I wanted to share a quote, though, the Gandhi quote on beliefs. It is, this is Mahatma Gandhi. He said, your beliefs become your thoughts. Your thoughts become your words. Your words become your actions. Your actions become your habits. Your habits become your values. Your values become your destiny.
I've heard that quote before, and it's a perfect, perfect time for you to raise it. Thank you, Veronica. So, in terms of what you've been reading in this session four today about vision and the definition of vision, the importance of vision, and the connection between your values and your vision. That's sort of what Diane was talking about, I think, too, is the vision is the blueprint for creating the values-based, purposeful, and intentional lives. And the values are the tools for guiding the vision to reality. So have any of you gotten your personal values statement completed or your life purpose statement completed? Would anyone care to share? Thinking about, here's a question then, thinking about your current beliefs, your positions and philosophies and commitments, how have you changed since the beginning of this course? No one has changed? Okay. What has been the biggest learning so far? I think some of you have shared that already, but for those that we haven't heard from, what's been the biggest learning so far for you?
Ma'am?
Yes.
This is Jaylene. And I'm in a location where sometimes there is very bad background noise. So
okay.
I'm sorry, I'm not able to jump in.
Okay.
I might have to mute. But for me, one of the words that came to the forefront of my values, it was never there before. And it's really changed a lot for me. It's like a key word now in everything from my work, which is huge, to just my purpose and my mission. And the word was resiliency, resilient.
Mm.
And I had just never looked at my life or things that way with that word. And so I feel like this work has very much changed my future. Because that word, my purpose is to help people be resilient. And to foster that in organizations and people and in relationships, my personal relationships. And it's just a very large piece of my life, I think, moving forward. It's always been, but now I know what it is. And
yeah.
So I'm very grateful for that.
Oh, that's amazing. And so I love that, to help people be resilient and to continue to foster that in them. So that's wonderful. Anyone else have a life purpose statement that you'd be willing to share?
Well, hi, Nan. This is Demetrius.
Hi, Demetrius.
I don't have a life purpose statement yet, but when you were talking about that, when you take instances in your life to where that you can look at them and say, okay, it's okay that this happened to me because it made me a better person.
Yeah.
It's like, for me, in my head, I know that and I say that. And I believe it, but in my heart, it's still pain.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I understand that. And you might, you take control of the pain. And it's like grief, you know, that it's always with you. And you reach a point where you can control it, you can take it out, and you can say, you know, I'm going to have a little pity party, I'm going to cry this afternoon because what happened to me was so unfair, and how it's being treated is so not right. And then you can put it back, you can fold it up and put it back away and say, I am better because of that experience. I'm grateful for that experience, even though it caused me so much pain. What I have learned from that experience and what I can take away and help other people so they don't have to go through that. You know,
I think that's what I'm doing. I think, you know, because what it is for me is that my parents died a year and a half apart. By the time I was 7 years old, I had no parents. And that was a lie for me. It was a lie. And then I was left to be raised by my aunt, you know, who was abusive. You know, physically, emotionally, mentally, but, you know, and it's no matter what, I know these things happen to me, and I do believe in my heart it has to be for a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
But at 58, I still don't know the purpose. So I'm continuing to move. You know, I'm going to keep moving. I'm going to keep going. But the pain from all of that, I can't get rid of the pain. You know.
Can I share?
Yeah. Oh, please. Yeah, go ahead.
Can I share a quote? Yeah, that I came across last night. I'm reading this book, just starting it, on intentional sorrow, about grieving. And I wrote down this quote because it really kind of spoke. It said, healing then becomes not the absence of pain, but the increased ability to meet it with mercy instead of loathing. No one can wholly remove our pain. All we can do is increase the spaciousness of mind and heart in which it is allowed to decompress. Letting go is letting be.
Where you read that at?
It's in a book called Unintentional Sorrow. I can get it in. And give you the correct title. I think it's Intentional Sorrow by, his name is Levine, but I can't remember the end. But it's about, okay, I will.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you, Veronica. It's a perfect time to read that quote, and it's so true. Letting go, it's so hard, and yet it's the only way to go forward. And yet, Demetris, I hear what you have gone through as a child, and yet, you know, here you are, moving forward with your life, and, you know, you've got, I mean, Jaylene brought up that word resilience. I think you are an example of resilience. Mm-hmm. And you're fighting,
right,
you
right.
know, you're mm-hmm. fighting with your lawsuits. You know, you're still fighting, and you're not letting. That's right. You're not giving up. And to me, that is so powerful, and it's such an amazing model for people who have experienced so much pain in their lives that they don't have to give up. And it's hard to continue fighting. I'm sure you must be exhausted from the fighting.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. You were going to say something?
It was like when Jaylene said, like, that was her goal, you know, to mm-hmm. be more resilient. And I'm sitting here thinking the whole time, man, she is blessed. She is blessed to even, you know, not to have to have it, because what resilience, it comes from struggle, you know, and it's like, you know, people have always, you know, told me like this girl in my job, she was like, Demetrius, everybody is not as strong as you. Be blessed you not, because this strength comes from a lot of struggle, and I wouldn't wish that on nobody. So it was interesting to see her, that's her goal to, you know, be resilient. And all I hear is that she's blessed.
Well, you she's don't know blessed. What Jaylene's struggles have been, though.
Right, right. But that's the fact that you could say,
mm-hmm.
you know, that I need to be more resilient, so that's a blessing to me. Yeah, and that just shows, you know, how from coming from where, you know, everybody, your experiences is how you look at things. Everybody's
mm-hmm.
is different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody's is different. And it's not like I desire to know her situation. It just made me look at, because I was thinking like, phew, I got an overdose of resilience. I'm like, overdose. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And yet you're still, you know, you're still searching. You're still learning and wanting to grow from it. And so, you know, that to me makes you an incredibly... Oh, I was going to say strong, but you don't.
No.
That doesn't seem to be a word that you like.
No, I embrace it. I truly embrace it.
Yeah.
I truly embrace it.
Yeah.
And I'm just at the point where I'm thinking like, well, maybe I'm supposed to be this advocate, because I've been this way all my life. Like, you know, I could be at school and see somebody bullying somebody, and I'm like, leave him alone. You know, it's just me. Like, it ain't
yeah.
even, like, I'm speaking up for people. It, no matter what, it's like I'm just a self-born, mandated
mm-hmm.
reporter, like, advocate for people. So then now in my life, where I'm like, okay, what I do, then I thought about, and I tried it before, I thought about being a CASA volunteer, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I need to use this advocacy, this speak for some kids.
You're an advocate for the victims. Yes. Because you are not a victim. I think that's what's really important about your story, is that you have been victimized, but you're not a victim. And so that's a really important story for people to hear, that regardless of what they're experiencing in life, they don't need to stay victimized by it.
Right.
And I think that's I think that's important, and I think that's maybe that's your purpose, is to, you know, to show that people don't have to stay victimized, that they can rise up and be, you know, a helpful person, a beautiful person, someone to be admired.
Thank you, Nan.
You're welcome. You're welcome. So, did someone have something?
I was going to say, I was going to share my vision.
Oh,
which is
love that.
For
thank you.
The end point of my work. So my vision is for older women to be empowered and connected with their wisdom, passion, and purpose, living meaningful, vibrant lives, being the best person they can. So that's what I see as the end of my work, the vision I want.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's not the vision for me, but it's the vision for the outcome of what I want to do.
Okay. Well, that's interesting. So the vision for the outcome of what you want to do is different from the vision for you as a person?
Well, for me as a person, it would be, I guess, to empower, facilitate, support women to become their best self.
Yeah. I love that. Yeah, because in your vision, you know, how do you want people to see you? What is it that makes you unique? And how strong is the connection between your values and your vision? What changes might you have to make to your values list to align them with your vision? What results will you expect from your vision? And Veronica, you've stated that really nicely. How will your thinking and actions have to change so that you will begin to attract the resources you'll need to achieve your vision? And that relates back to what Diane was saying, that if there's a discrepancy about who you are now from who you want to be, then you can identify what changes you need to make. What about constituencies? So now that you have a life purpose statement, you know your values and your ethics, did anybody identify the constituencies that you want to be impacted by your vision? Veronica, you said women.
Yeah.
Are there others?
Family.
Family, yeah. Was that Kelly? I hear some banging in the background. Maybe could someone press *6 if you have banging going on behind you, please? Thanks. So was that Kelly that said family?
No, it was Diane.
Oh, Diane, I'm sorry. Yeah. When you think of legacies, and certainly Krista with her new stepson, now family, and her new partner, now family, has become taken a higher priority, become more important. So you think, you know, think of your friends, perhaps your coworkers at work, the community in which you live. What kind of an impact do you want to make on your community, if any? And what about future generations? You know, what the heck are we going to do about this planet so that future generations will have the opportunity to be impacted by our vision? And global diversity, you know, that's a huge issue now. So we can pick, you know, we can pick different issues even on which we want to make an impact, can't we?
Mm-hmm.
So for some, it might be the environment. I had a client that it was dogs and animals. She was committed to, you know, taking better care of animals and ensuring that animals are kept safe. So those are constituencies that each of us, for each of us, it might be different depending on our values, our environments that we've grown up with, perhaps our cultures, our religion or spiritual beliefs. And then, you know, not only choosing the communities, the constituencies, and then thinking about the impact that you want to have on each one. You know, something that I want to do with my coaching business, which I have never done yet, and I've always said I would do, and I've been procrastinating, is I would love to sponsor a kid's softball team or something like that, you know, so that kids who don't have, kids will have the equipment that they need to be able to go and play baseball or football or soccer or whatever. That's an impact I'd like to have on my community, is ensuring that kids get out and have exercise and have fun doing something they enjoy.
Mm-hmm. And
these days, it's not practical. Once COVID is over and or controlled and we get back to being able to interact with one another, that's something that I want to commit to doing. So have any of you thought about what you will need to do in order to achieve your desired impact, or what will have to change so that you can do what you need to do? And here's another question. How will you define and measure success? What benchmarks? So, for example, you know, my benchmarks are going to be that I will contact a sports director in our community and say, I want to sponsor a team. And that will be my success, is when I see the kids playing with all the equipment that they need. Have anybody else thought about this question or have ideas? Everyone
Man,
is so quiet. Yeah, Demetra.
I have
thank you.
I started a nonprofit organization, which I don't really know what I'm doing, so I'm still struggling with
good
it.
For you.
But one initiative that I want the nonprofit, which I've started the, is for a change initiative for kids in or have been in foster care. Because when I worked in a group home for girls, one of the things that the kids, you know, and I hadn't really even thought about it until they, you know, really start talking and complaining about it is when they are transported, you know, from home to home or wherever they're going, their belongings are always transported in a black plastic bag.
Mm-hmm.
And that bothers them. You know, they, and really until they, and I know agencies are using the black plastic bags because they're cheaper, they're more durable, more flexible. You know what I'm saying? I understand
mm-hmm.
why they're using it, but from a foster kid's perspective, it's like they're looking at it as like, you're throwing all everything I own in a trash bag.
Trash bag.
You know? Yeah. Exactly. So my change initiative that I want to promote and encourage for the rest of my life is to give as many foster kids as I can some new look kind of luggage, you know. And I don't want it to be, used because people are so quick when you say, oh, I want to give the foster kid. They want to give you stuff that they don't want. I don't want them to have it. I wanted them to have this is especially for them. And I found this, and the other thing about foster kids I learned, you got to give these kids exactly the same thing. Because if it's any difference, they will try to steal and take from each other, like, oh, yours have this, oh, I'm going to take that. You know, so I want to make sure they get the same bag where everybody can just be happy with the one bag that they have, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this is my, what I'm working on right now. And I try to buy 50 bags because I have a friend. She works in a youth program for kids who have been in foster care, but they kind of aged out like 18 to 24. But they go to this summer camp every summer. And she said every summer they got to use these black trash bags. And she said she was just so frustrated with hearing them. Like, why we got to have? She was like, I'm going to start my own fundraiser to get these kids a bag, you know. So they were going to be the first group that I was trying to get the bags for. Thank God that, well, I don't want to say thank God that COVID-19, but they were supposed to go this month. And I did not raise enough money to buy, you know, 40 bags. So now I'm just trying to maybe raise enough to get them for Christmas for them, I'm hoping.
Mm-hmm. So if someone wanted to make a donation, where do we go to do that? Do you have
a website
for that?
I have a Facebook page where I have a fundraising. I created a fundraiser from the Facebook page, and I have a Cash App. So those are like the only two places that I have to receive funds.
Okay. What's the name of the Facebook page?
It's called, because the initiative is called Tierra, and I named it after one of the girls in the group home because her name was Tierra, and she was the one that complained about it most because she was really on, you know, how she wanted to look like, she said, regular kids, and that really hurt me.
that she felt like she didn't look like regular kids, you know. So I
So are you talking suitcases or like backpacks?
Well, right now we're just trying to buy this Marmot duffel bag. I could send you the link on Facebook so you can see it. We're just trying to get each one of them a Marmot duffel bag.
Okay.
So they can all have the same one and no fighting, stealing.
And Tiara, is it? How is that spelled?
It's TIARA. And it stands for Transitioning Individuals Awarding Requisite Accessories.
Wow. Now, see, Demetrius, here you are. You've gone through so much in your life, and you're turning around, and you're wanting to help girls in foster care feel better about themselves so they don't feel like trash and like their belongings are trash. And you're helping them to not be victims.
Right. I'm trying to.
So you should be feeling so good about yourself for the work that you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I want. This is the first time I've started it. So I want it to grow. So I'm known for giving these bags all over to all the foster kids all around.
I love it. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm so glad that you brought that to our attention. And maybe that's something that, you know, for those of you who want to get more information from Demetrius and be involved in this project, here's an opportunity.
Right. So I'll send you a, because I could put it in the group on the Facebook.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, you know,
yes,
so you could just
read
about it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, you know, this is your community. Is these girls in foster care and the impact. This is your constituency and the impact that you're having on them, and it's also your legacy. It's such a wonderful thing that you're doing.
Definitely.
You know, I don't know who makes these duffel bags. Who is it?
Marmot.
Okay. I haven't heard of them. But I'm wondering if your not-for-profit organization were to contact them, whether they would donate some duffel bags to you promote what you're doing and, you know, to the people who buy. Maybe each bag that's bought, they'd give a dollar to your not-for-profit.
Right. I've been talking to a sales representative. And, I mean, they referred me to her, and she said she's giving us a discount, but that's all she said.
Wow.
Now maybe if I just, you know, mention it, but I want to be able to make the first purchase first. So I don't want her to think like we just not trying to help our own cause, you know?
Yeah. Okay. So, we've talked today about the values and our life purpose, about the constituencies, and how we have different impacts on each of those constituencies depending on our purpose. So for next week, make sure you read the session 5. Session 5 lesson. And then if you haven't done a code of ethics yet, or you can use that to write your personal mission statement. That's your homework for next week, is what you want to achieve in your lifetime and why. So if you can make it in 25 words or fewer, explaining your existence and your efforts in life, the unique reason or purpose, and the impact that you want to make in your lifetime, and the constituencies to whom you will have obligation and influence. When you have these statements, and there's a free tool that that's available to you. It's through Franklin Covey, Stephen Covey's son. It's a free tool for writing your personal mission statement. And then hopefully we can share some of those next week. And be kind of a culmination of the work that you've done to date. So before we leave, are there any questions, comments, feedback? How are you feeling, Allison? I know that we've talked a lot about work that you haven't gone over yet. I hope that we're getting at what you are looking for.
Absolutely. I think this is a wonderful group, and I'm just honored to be a part of it. And I had a lot of great ideas. You've given me a lot of material to share with my young ladies in the mentoring group that I'm a part of. And since you mentioned Stephen Covey, my favorite author is John Gordon. It's J-O-N, and he's written
a series of
books. And it's because of John Gordon that I started thinking about my purpose and legacy. And he has so many wonderful books, and one of those is One Word That Will Change Your Life. And the first word I chose was purpose. So I thank you for what you're doing here today, and I know I'm a long way behind on my homework, but I'll catch up before next week, hopefully.
Oh, Allison, that's a lot of work. So, you know, if you don't get it done, don't worry. Don't beat up on yourself. But we're looking forward to having you join us again next week.
Thank you so much, everyone.
Thank you, everyone.
Can I say something before we end? It's Veronica.
Oh, please. Please.
Yeah, I want to say to Demetrius that you are inspiring.
Yeah.
I really want to, say that.
Oh, thank you, Veronica. Thank you so much.
You're
welcome.
That's
what I want to be, an inspiration.
You are
right now. Because I felt inspired by what you're aiming to do and your thoughtfulness, you know, and realizing the significance or the meaning of putting mom's clothes in a garbage bag and the message it gives the kids who are already struggling with self-esteem. So,
So we're trying to remove the stigma.
I was going to say the title of the book I had mentioned is Unattended Sorrow, and it's by Stephen Levine. Stephen with a P-H-L-E-V-I-N-E.
Wait, how does she spell the last name?
L-E-V-I-N-E.
Levine. And the first name?
Stephen. S-T-E-P-H-E-N. Yes.
Mm. Okay. Unintentional?
Unattended.
Unattended.
Sorrow.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to read this book. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
Yes,
and thank you. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, yes. Demetrius, for inspiring us today. You've inspired us, and I know that you inspire those girls that you work with, for sure.
Yeah.
Just by being your authentic self. Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, everyone. So we'll say goodbye, and thank you so much for all of your contributions today, and have a great week. Everyone stay safe, and we'll see you next Tuesday. Okay? Take care, everybody.
Thank
you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh, you're there, Jerry.
Yeah, sorry. My daughter's first day of school today.
Oh, that's okay. Glad that you made it. So glad you're here.
Recording. Thank you so
okay.
much. Have a great week.
Sounds great.
Bye.
Okay. Take care. Bye.